Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Nicholas Mancini, currently the pastor of Sacred Heart of Mary Parish in Louisville, and he's also the spiritual director for us here at Living Bread Radio. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. Pleasure to be back with you.
Great to have you again. We're going to continue our discussion on the Catholic Church from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we were talking about the Pope and the bishops and the priests, so let's continue our discussion there.
All right. Sure. When we look at the elements of our first Pope, Peter, and then his successors, we can certainly see how our Lord structured his church and the beauty of the hierarchy. And we see what the popes have done in the history of the church, down to our present Holy Father, Pope Francis I, and bringing the gospel message of Christ alive into the church of the modern world, and his successor, and all the way down, those that follow. Now, those that come in this collegial body, let's look now at the term bishop. Once again from the Greek. To supervise, successor of the apostles, leader of a diocese, which is the local church, as a member of the College of Bishops, under the leadership of the Pope, the bishop has a share in the responsibility for the universal governance of the church. So, a bishop is in charge of his local church. He governs her, shepherds her with that gentleness, compassion, and love of Jesus Christ. And he receives his authority from the Holy Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's extending that, like Peter said to the first apostles, go out and proclaim the gospel of the Lord. So too a bishop, when he visits the local church or gives the sacrament of confirmation, visits his flock, bringing to them the word of God or the sacrament of the Holy Spirit to seal and strengthen our young people in the faith, or the bishop may come and just visit to see the beauty of our parish community, to speak with his flock, to celebrate the Holy Mass. Or even some bishops go to the nursing homes, because there too the flock needs to hear the word of God. And I know some bishops go to say Mass and to visit them and to anoint them. And the beauty of this Pope, as the other popes did, if you recall, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul II, Benedict, and Francis went to the healing sites or the vision places where the Blessed Mother appeared, such as Lourdes, or they went out to visit those imprisoned or the sick. So the ministry of bishop is extended from the Pope to the bishops as they go forth among their flock to shepherd them. Then you have the priests. Now, once again from the Greek, presbyteros, elder, co-worker with the bishop in proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments. He carries out his ministry in communion with other priests under the leadership of the bishop. And the priests, once again, are given charge of a local parish as pastors or as associates or vicars to minister to the family of God within that particular community. Once again, they reach out to our brothers and sisters who are sick by visiting the hospitals, nursing homes, bringing communion to the shut-ins. The ministry of the priesthood is to teach, to bless, and to encourage. So we see our priest as an extension of our bishops in that love of Jesus Christ in their ministries that they fulfill. Then under the priest you have the deacon. Once again, from the Greek, diakonos, meaning servant or helper. A deacon is ordained for the ministry of the word, the liturgy, and charitable works. His ordination includes the authority to baptize, to preach at Mass, to preside at the sacrament of marriage. And also he can pray for the dead by going to the funeral home and praying for the deceased loved one and so forth. So a deacon, this helper who goes out in that ministry, brings the message of the Word of God to the children of God in a unique and special way.
Father, what would you say to the seeker who's maybe reading and studying sacred scripture and they're investigating the Catholic Church and their comment is, well, I don't see the word Catholic or the word Pope in the scriptures. What would you say to that person?
Well, the term Catholic means universal, and that didn't come in until later. The word Pope, once again, did not come in till later because Peter was looked upon as one that the others could look to, sort of like your father. Brothers and sisters may sometimes go to their father for guidance. The first apostles looked to Peter for guidance. I know there is coming out very shortly, it may be out now, and I think it is, been released, the movie about St. Peter, two-part program starring Omar Sharif, where he portrays Peter in a fatherly image, and he is reminded by the other apostles, we look to you for guidance. So, the term Pope, as we pointed out, that comes in from this Greek word, papas, meaning father, is then drawn in around that. And in the scriptures, you won't find the word Pope, but you will find the word leader, guide, you know, so forth, apostle. So that when we explain this to non-Christians, they get that understanding that the shepherd of shepherds, the Pope, is the father over all his family.
And again, it's important to point out that Jesus gave Peter alone the keys to the kingdom, so that gives him that authority.
Right. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and I give you to the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Which leads us to our next question, Father. Is the Pope really infallible, and what does that mean?
Okay. Yes. But the Pope speaks infallibly only when he defines a dogma in a solemn ecclesiastical act. This is known as ex cathedra. In other words, makes an authoritative decision in doctrinal questions of faith and morals. Magisterial decisions of the College of Bishops in communion with the Pope also possess an infallible character. For example, decisions of an ecumenical council. The infallibility of the Pope has nothing to do with his moral integrity or his intelligence. What is infallible is actually the Church. For Jesus promised her the Holy Spirit, who keeps her in the truth and leads her ever deeper into it. When a truth of the faith that has been taken for granted is suddenly denied or misinterpreted, the church must have one final voice that authoritatively says what is true and what is false. This is the voice of the Pope as successor of Peter, the first among the bishops. He has the authority to formulate the truth according to the Church's tradition of faith in such a way that it is presented to the faithful for all times as something to be believed with certainty. We say then that the Pope defines a dogma. Therefore, such a dogma can never contain something substantially new. Very rarely is a dogma defined. The last time was in 1950.
So it has nothing to do with the Pope predicting the winner of the Ohio State-Michigan game?
No,
so
not at all.
So strictly when it's on faith and morals.
Correct.
So what is the task of the bishops then, Father?
Okay. The task of the bishops, they have a responsibility for their local church that is entrusted to them, and a share in that responsibility for the whole church. They exercise their authority in communion with one another and for the benefit of the whole church under the leadership of the Pope. Bishops must first of all be apostles, faithful witnesses of Jesus, who personally called them to follow him and then sent them. So they bring Christ to mankind and mankind to Christ. This happens through their preaching, the celebration of the sacraments, their governance of the church, and as a successor of the apostles, a bishop exercises his ministry by virtue of his own apostolic authority. He is not an agent or a sort of assistant to the Pope, yet he acts with and under the Pope.
I think it's important to point out at this point, Father, that even the Pope, the bishops, and the priests, and dare I say even you, Father, are sinners in need of God's grace. So just as Jesus chose the apostles who were mortal men who sinned, in spite of that, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God himself, Jesus built his church on the apostles and continues to this day.
This is correct. Yes, this is so true. And we see the beauty of this in the fact of Peter's confession, Paul's conversion, and the like.
And again, when I look to somebody like you, Father, I want to say publicly again, thank you for saying yes to God's call, because with no priests, there's no sacraments.
Yes.
And we need more good priests. So.
Yes, let us pray for vocations, definitely.
Every day. All right, you've been listening to Father Nicholas Mancini, and this has been Tim Perry, your host for Faith with Father on Living Bread Radio. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.